All right, ladies, welcome. We're back here on Wednesday, Tuesdays at 10:30 in Lawrence Avenue Synagogue. Return to our ladies' class, Baruch Hashem. It's been a long time since we had a winter session, but Baruch Hashem, hopefully the pandemic is behind us, and now we're able to, we have some consistency. So the curriculum that we accepted upon ourselves before the pandemic was to teach the Book of Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. The project was commissioned by a good friend of mine, Dr. Rafi Maddeb, Yishmereu B'Hayyehu, after the passing of his mom, the Abbat Virginie, and the Alili Bat Virginie. So he commissioned me to teach the Tehillim in her memory. And we accepted upon ourselves, B'li Neder, to do one a week. More than that is a lot for us. So this week we're up to Perek Nun Bet. Everybody should have Tehillim in front of them, either on their phones or in a book. It's good to follow inside. Chapter 52. It is a classic, and there are many practical lessons that can be learned from this chapter. But in order to understand the background of the chapter, one has to know a story in Tanakh. And I'll go for you that story. The story is in Shmuel Aleph. And it's in chapter 22. What happened over here is David, before he became the king, he was the son-in-law of Shaul, Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was the first Jewish king. And for whatever reason, there was, I don't like to use the word jealousy, these are tzaddikim, but there was a certain animosity or attention between Shaul and David, for whatever reason. And although David was innocent, Shaul was grappling with David. And as a result, David always had to run away from Shaul, because Shaul had moments where he was, he can kill David, he was the king. So David used to, you know, be on the run. So it says, in one of these fleeings of David, the Pasuk says that he ran to the city of Nov. What is Nov? Nov primarily is the city where the Kohanim lived. And again, David felt his life was in danger. And also he served as a general, helping the Jewish people fight wars. He had no food. He was going to die. So he went to the Kohen Gadol at the time. The Kohen Gadol's name was Ahimelech. Ahimelech ben Ahituv. Ahimelech was a descendant of Eliyah Kohen, the high priest. And he was a tzaddik Ahimelech. Ahimelech took no sides. He was loyal to Shaul. But when David came, since his life was in danger, Ahimelech took from the lechem apanim, from the showbread, that are usually exclusively only eaten by Kohanim, and he gave it to David to eat. The halakha says when it comes to pikuach nefesh, there's no Torah. You could transgress anything. So he even took the holy bread and gave it to David to eat. David then said that he's coming from a shlichut of Shaul. Shaul sent him, and Ahimelech had no reason not to believe him. And I need weapons. I need to go fight. So Ahimelech then took a sword that he had in his possession. It happened to be the sword of Goliath. And he gave it to David. Again, Ahimelech is thinking that David is being sent by Shaul. And then David asked Ahimelech a question. Ahimelech wore the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate. And if you need to ask a question to God, you ask it through the Hoshen Urim V'Tumim. And he asked a question regarding the Jewish people. So three things happened. Ahimelech gave him bread. Ahimelech gave him the sword of Goliath. And Ahimelech allowed David to ask a question to the Urim V'Tumim. Again, this has nothing to do with Ahimelech's loyalty to David over Shaul. Ahimelech is under the assumption that David is doing an errand for Shaul. He doesn't know the politics of it. But what happened was, there was a man that was there, and his name was Doeg. This is the main subject of today's talk. The fellow called Doeg, and he purposely, meaning bimezid, intentionally, misconstrued the story and went to Shaul and spoke Lashon Hara about Ahimelech. And he said, you have to know that Ahimelech is not your friend. He's taking sides. He sided with David. I saw it, I was there, and he's a big conniver, this guy Doeg. The way he tells the story is in a clever way to make it that it was much worse than it was. So I'll read you the story now and you'll hear it. What happens is, I'm reading it to you in chapter Chavbet. Vaya'an Doega Adomi. He tells Shaul, Ra'iti et ben Yishai. First of all, you see how he refers to David in a derogatory manner. Ben Yishai, the son of Yishai. Ba Nobe, Nobe, El Nob. He came to Nob. El Ahimelech. He came to Ahimelech. Now, he doesn't tell him that he came to the Mishkan. He says he went to Ahimelech as if he went to his house. He wants to create an image in Shaul's mind that there's some type of collusion. He didn't go to Ahimelech's house. He went to the Beit HaMikdash. But he wants to make it in Ahimelech. He went to Ahimelech. Then he went to the Mishkan and he asked him, using the Urim V'Tumim, V'Tzedah Natanlo. And he also gave him Tzedah. Tzedah is a lot of food. He didn't give him a lot of food. He gave him a couple of loaves of bread. But again, he's making it as if it's worse than it is. And he gave him the sword of Goliath. Is Ahimelech innocent or not? He's totally innocent. He didn't know that, he didn't have any intention to hurt Shaul. David told him that he's coming as a messenger of Shaul. So he's listening. And regardless, he has to save a person's life. You're not allowed to let a person die. Whether he's rebellious to the king or not, the Kohen has no right to let somebody die. So he had to feed him. Why did he give him the sword? David HaMelech said he needs a weapon to go fight. And that was the only thing that he had. Anyway, Vayishlach HaMelech lekro et Ahimelech. So Shaul calls Ahimelech. He summons him. Ve'et kol abiv ha-kohanim. And all the Kohanim. There was 85 Kohanim in the city of Nov. And he summoned them all. Because Doeg will claim that they're all accomplices. So they're all guilty. Vayavo kolam el ha-melech. Vayomer Shaul, Shema'na ben Ahituv. You listen to me, son of Ahituv. Now he's angry. He doesn't call him Ahimelech. He says, listen to me, son of Ahituv. Vayomer, Inini Aduni, I'm here, my master. Vayomer Elav Shaul, Lama kishartem alai, ata'u ben Yishai. Why you and ben Yishai, you have colluded against me. Betetechan lo lechem, you gave him bread. V'cherev, and you gave him the sword. V'sha'ol lo b'Elohim. What do you think? He's the king. He has no right to use the Urim v'Tumim. And you let him use the Urim v'Tumim. That means you are agreeing with him. You are taking sides. Lakum elay le'orev kayom hazeh. You have now helped my enemy. Ambush me. V'yana Ahimelech et ha-melech. Could you imagine? Ahimelech was innocent. So could you imagine the king of Israel now is accepted the Lashon Hara of Doeg. Remember who the troublemaker over here is, Doeg. He's the one that whispered in Shaul's ear. Shaul bought it. And now he goes to Ahimelech and he gives it to him. Ahimelech is blindsided. There's no way this came from. So he says, what are you talking? Umi bechol abadech kedavid ne'eman. I had no idea that there's any problems between you and David. I thought David is loyal to you. Ahimelech was really unaware of any of the fighting between Shaul and David. So he said, I thought David is loyal to you. V'hatan HaMelech. Not only that, David was the son-in-law of Shaul. David married Shaul's daughter. So he said, what do you want from me? It's your son-in-law. I'm helping your son-in-law. V'sad in mishmatecha. And he always listens to you. V'nichbad bebetecha. And as far as I know, he was always respected in your house. Hayom achiloti l'shodo b'lim halilali. God forbid. I wasn't asking, letting him use the urim v'tumim for his personal use. I thought it was because of the king. Al yasim ha-melech v'abdo davar b'chol bet avi. Ki lo yadav v'cha b'chol zot davar katoru gadol. God forbid. I had no idea of what was going on. I'm innocent. So you would hope that Shaul would, now he has two stories. He has Doeg, who's telling him he's a bad guy, and you have Ahimelech that at least got a chance to defend himself. What do you think Shaul did? Vayomer Amelech, mot tamut Ahimelech. Death sentence on Ahimelech. Ata v'chol bet abicha, you and your whole family. You're all in collusion against me. Vayomer Amelech laratzim anitzabim alav. So Shaul now turns to his men who realized that this was Doeg's doings. And the king is going to tell his people, go kill Ahimelech. And they're not going to want to listen. For good reason, because they know he's innocent. V'amitu kwane Hashem. They knew that he was running away from me. And they didn't tell me. But they didn't want to listen. They were scared to kill innocent people. So what do you think happens? Vayomer HaMelech LeDoeg. Unbelievable story. The king turns to Doeg and tells him, Sob ata ufga b'kohanim. You do it. You were the one that gave me the Lashon Hara or the news. You have to kill them yourselves. Now what do you think Doeg did? Vayisov Doeg Adomi vayifka hu b'kohanim. He went one by one and killed each kohen. Vayamed bayomahu shemonim v'hamisha ish. He killed 85 people. You talk about a mass shooting or a massacre. This is before Columbine and all these stories that we hear in our generation. This happened over here. Mass casualty at Nov, 85. And it just shows you don't need an automatic weapon to kill 85 people. He killed them the old-fashioned way. He had a sword, boom, one by one, he killed them. V'etnov irakoni mikal lefi cherev, me'ish v'adisha, me'olel v'adyonek, me'shor v'hamor v'sed lefi harem. Then he killed the city of Nov as well. So forget about the 85. The 85 was just the Kohanim. But then he went after the city itself. And that was, again, a sign that Doeg was giving the city of Nob. This is a lesson. Anybody that takes sides against Shaul with David, this is going to be your fate. This is an amazing story. There was only one survivor, by the way. Who was the survivor? Ahimelech had a son. His name was Eviatar. Eviatar ran and told David what happened. And you can imagine, David was shocked. That's the story. Now, David is going to dedicate chapter 52 and tell us his opinion of Doeg. I think you could all imagine that it's not going to be so favorable. And in the course of this story, we're going to have to open up the Talmud and try to understand who was this Doeg guy. From the story I just read to you, it sounds like he was a mafioso. It sounds like he was a professional killer. He's a thug. He's a bully. Obviously, he knows how to wield a weapon. Killed 85 people. There wasn't even resistance against him. So it sounds like he's a warrior of some sort. That's the way I get the impression, at least from reading Tanakh. You're going to get a total different impression of Doeg when you start reading what the Talmud has to say about him. And that's going to cause you to be very, very confused. The confusion is going to be, how could Doeg be so great in one area and then at the same time so low in another area? You're going to see that actually Doeg was, he had a split life. He had two lives over here. Stay tuned. I don't want to give it to you immediately. I want to read the chapter. It's a Tehillim class. I know some of you are saying, hey, we came for a Tehillim class and the guy didn't read us even one pasuk yet, and he's just teaching us about the Nevi'im. Again, for this chapter to be understood correctly, you needed to get that Hakdamah from Shmuel. Okay, now take out your Tehillim books. Lamnaseyah maskil David. Now, Lamnaseyah is to the conductor. David wrote these songs and then presented them to the conductor in the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan to sing. Maskil le David. Maskil over here means there's a lesson to be learned. Sechel. There's a moral of this story to be learned. This is a lesson of David. It's a maskil. If you learn this chapter correctly, you'll benefit wisdom. Bebo do'eg adomi. Regarding the story of Doeg Adumi, now he's called Doeg, the Red One. Why would he be called Doeg, the Red One? It's a good question. We know Esav was called the Red One, but that was because of his complexion that was red. He was reddish. Well, the Gemara says that while Doeg did not have a red complexion, but he caused others to have red complexion. What does that mean? Doeg, the Gemara says, was a world-class scholar. He was a Talmid Hacham of the highest order. So much so that when he came into the Beit Midrash, nobody was able to answer his questions. And therefore he would cause a lot of red faces throughout the Beit HaMidrash. They became ashamed because they couldn't either understand him or they couldn't go back and forth with his with his brilliance. So there you go. Now you start to see that Doeg is not the run-of-the-mill hitman that we thought he was. Doeg actually was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Gaon. He was a great scholar. So much so that anybody that was in his midst, they turned red because of the, out of shame of such a great personality. That's Doeg. Now Doeg means to worry. Nidog. Well, did he have anxiety, Doeg? Why would they call him Doeg? Doeg means like he has a pressure. Or in America, they say he has stress. Why would somebody call the name of their kid stress? What kind of name is that, Doeg? So the Gemara that I have here in Sanhedrin tells us a little about the name. And it says over here in the Gemara, why is he called Doeg? And I quote, Doeg, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Betechila Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Doeg. It wasn't Doeg that was being Doeg, God was being Doeg. God was agonizing over what? Shem Yitze Ze L'Tarbut Ra'a. God is always worried that the great Tzaddikim, that they shouldn't go off the path. A person shouldn't think that only the Sha'im have to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Even the great Tzaddikim also have to deal with the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is equal opportunity. He goes after everybody. And God was worried. Doeg had such talent. Doeg had such, ability. He had tremendous kohot, Doeg. And Borei Olam was Doeg for him. He was worried that he shouldn't go to Tarbutra, I guess. God also saw what Doeg is capable of, on the negative side. So therefore, it's God's concern. Now we'll continue. If you have your Tehillim books open, you're going to see that the pasuk is going to refer to Doeg in a different. Actually, the Navi refers to him as a different name. We'll get to that name in a minute. The Navi. I'll show it to you. So bebo Doeg Adumi, Doeg the red man, vayaged leShaul, and he went and he spoke to Shaul, vayomed lo, and what did he tell Shaul? Ba David el Bet Ahimelech. David came to the house of Ahimelech. Ladies, that's a lie. He never went to the house of Ahimelech. He went to the Mishkan in Nov. That's where Ahimelech works. But in order to construe a conspiracy, he said, yeah, he went to his house as if they were buddies and they were conspiring behind closed doors. He says, yeah, Ba David el Bet Ahimelech. Sheker v'chazav. And now David HaMelech starts to chastise Doeg. But he doesn't chastise him to his face. He did us a favor, and he chastised him through the Perek, through chapter Nunbet. So we get to read it forever. He documented his Musar. And what does it say? Ma titalel bera'a ha-gibor hesed el kol hayom. What does this mean over here? Chesed el kol hayom means chesed el, the kindness of God. Chesed el is all day. God does chesed all day. What is David HaMelech telling Doeg? God does chesed all day long. What did Doeg contest that? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, what did you think? You think if Ahimelech wouldn't have given me bread, you think I would have died? God has many messengers. After all, Borei Olam feeds Klal Yisrael and the whole world the entire day. And therefore, there's not only one messenger that would have saved me. And therefore, that she says, Ilu lo natan li Ahimelech lechem, if Ahimelech wouldn't have given me bread, midume ata she'amud bera'av, what did you think, I was going to die of starvation? Yesh chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael kol hayom. The kindness of God is all day. Vim lo natan lihu, yitnu li acherim. Ma titalel bera'a ha-gibor. Look at Rashi's language. David HaMelech is shocked. Lama titalel v'titpa'er bera'a she'ata oseh. You're so proud of the trickiness that you involved yourself in this chicanery, in this bad lifestyle that you involved yourself in. Ata ha-gibor ba-Torah. Doeg, shame on you. You're the gibor ba-Torah. You're supposed to be the big Rosh Yeshiva. You're supposed to be the gibor ba-Torah. What's happening to you, Doeg? Why are you proud of this? And now we really have a question. How is it possible that somebody that's so strong, David refers to him as Gibor. Gibor means a strong one in Torah. How could you be so strong in Torah and then be so bad at the same time? This is a very strong question. Well, ladies, I'm not a psychologist. We're going to have to open up the books and we're going to have to see about this fellow over here. I'm reading Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni says, Adam ha'osek bechesed el kol hayom kamotka. A person that's involved in chesed el, the kindness of God, which is a reference to the Torah. You study Torah all day long. Like it says, Torah chesed al leshona. The Torah is called chesed. Ya'asok bedvarim halal. You involved yourself in such things? How did this happen? How could a person that studies Torah all day long and then all of a sudden you get involved in Lashon Hara and in the worst crimes? V'ta'aseh Torah tka pilastar. You're making all the Torah that you study false because you read all day long against what you did. So therefore, you're not practicing what you're preaching. You're making the Torah that you study pilastar means It's fake. You didn't keep what you're learning. David HaMelech is shocked. And Doeg is not worried at all to speak Lashon Hara about David. But look what happened as a result of this Lashon Hara. We always thought Lashon Hara, okay, it's not nice. But look what it caused. It ultimately ended up causing the death of 85 innocent people and then the destruction of a whole city. So the pasuk continues. Havot tachshov leshonecha. The Tehillim over here refers to the mouth of Doeg, like a sharp sword. Just like the sword damages, so too the tongue of Doeg is like a knife, it cuts. But it doesn't refer to it as a regular knife. It says, Keta'ar milutash, a sharpened blade, osir miyah, that acts in a crooked way. What does it mean to say? That sometimes when you have a knife, a person has a knife, and they want to cut something, if the knife isn't held the right way, God forbid, instead of cutting the item, they cut themselves. So David is telling Doeg, you had a sharp tongue like a knife, but it was osir miyah. You know who it ended up cutting? It's going to end up cutting you. It ended up backfiring and cutting Doeg. As we're going to see that Doeg will receive a tremendous punishment. Ladies, you cannot imagine the punishment Doeg is going to get. I think he deserved it. Definitely did. So the knife actually backfired against Doeg. I'm reading a little from the Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni comes along and says that when they talk about the tongue of a person, so they compare it to an arrow as opposed to a sword. And the explanation is, he quotes a pasuk here in the Yalkut. The Yalkut says, Het shahut leshonam. Their tongue is spread out like an arrow. And the explanation is that in combat, a person uses a sword only in close proximity. You have to be very close to the person in order to kill him with a sword. But an arrow, you could kill from far. Lashon hara is the same thing. Lashon hara already causes casualties from far. The word travels, and even if a person is far away, it can cause him damage. You don't have to be, right, as we see today. Today, if a person sends out a text with Lashon Hara on it, it goes all over the world. That's like an arrow. It has its damage from far. Furthermore, if a person is holding a sword in his hand, and he's about to, God forbid, use it violently, at a certain point before he damages, he could change his mind and pull back. But once a person shoots an arrow and he changes his mind, he can't pull the arrow back. Once he releases the arrow, it's airbound. It's going to reach his destination, and therefore you cannot take it back, which is the same thing about the speech of a person. Once the word goes out of your mouth, even though at that point, oh, I regret it, too late. The word now has wings. And therefore the word spreads around. Now even though you regret it, but the people who listen to it don't know you regret it. The people that read it or saw it, they don't know that you retracted it so quickly. So therefore it's like an arrow in the sense that two things. Its damage is far reaching. And number two, it's irreversible. Once already, it reaches the point of no return. Now let's read the Tehillim a little more. So therefore, David HaMelech is saying, Havot tachshov leshonecha. What did you think? Let's see that Lashon over there, how they learn it. Havot means you used your tongue to break, to destroy. From your tongue we see your destructive thinking. Havot tachshov leshonecha. We see how sinister your brain works, Doeg. Ahavta ra mitov. Amazing. You loved bad over good. Sheker. You gave credence to lies. Medaber sedek. From speaking just. What does he mean over here? He means to say, you could have spoken the truth and tell Shaul that Ahimelech was really innocent. You were there, you were an eyewitness. But you were a bad guy, Doeg. Ahavta ra mitov. You chose and you opted and you preferred to see bad than to see the good. Midaber tzedek. You chose lies over tzedek. And the Yalkut over here comes along and says, Doeg was a rich man. Some people, they false flatter others because they want something from them. They want money, they want kavod, they want recognition, for whatever reason. So therefore, they become lackeys of that person in order to get some sort of benefit. Doeg had everything. He was also a rich man. He received all of the kavod of the people. Everybody loved him. So therefore, for what purpose did you need to false flatter Shaul? Why were you trying to get on Shaul's side? In order to say, oh, Shaul, I'm with you. David's fighting against you. Ahimelech. People who are miskinim do that. But you, why did you choose to be a false flatterer? Amar bina'a. Yesh adam mishaker. It's true, people lie. Nose panim la'adam, or they favor a certain person. Shochileu, in order to get, maybe he'll get some food. Aval ata, shema ani ha'ita? Are you poor? You're not poor. Hare ata gibor, hakam, ashir. Now hold on to your seats. Not only is he gibor, strong, he was hakam, not only was he ashir, but now it tells us he was the head of the Sanhedrin. Yeah, oh my gosh, that's my reaction also. I don't believe it. We have the same reaction. Head of the Sanhedrin. So again, ladies, Doeg was the top guy in Bnei Israel at the time. And this is an amazing lesson. You see that even the top guy, he could fall. And he took this was not a fall, this was a free fall. And David HaMelech is trying to understand and said, what were you lacking? What do you need to false flatter Shaul and make it, you sit back and learn Torah and teach Torah and be happy. But he was bad. Doeg was bad. There was a bad element in Doeg. We're going to have to see what it is. Next pasuk. It's scary. You're going to see, by the way, David is going to talk about how scary it is. Ahavta kol devrei bala. You love the words that destroy. Which means your words caused somebody else to get swallowed up. But you did it in a way of bala. You swallowed the words, which means you didn't say it explicitly. You said it in a way where it's hidden. When a person talks sometimes, he says something. I didn't say anything, but in the way he says it and the intonation and the words he uses. So he says, "After Kodavre Bala, you spoke in a swallowed way, in a seted way. But what? It's all Lashon Mirmah. It's all lies. And now David HaMelech, that's it. He lost his patience for this guy. Understandably. And what does he tell him? He tells him like this. Gam el yitasecha lanetzach. Okay, let's go one step at a time. God, yitasecha. Yitasecha should cut you down. forever. Yahtecha, he should break you. V'yisachcha, he should uproot you. Strong words. Me'ohil, from the tent. V'shedeshcha, and he should go after all the roots. Me'eres hayim, from the land of the living. What does this mean? Well, obviously this is a curse. I don't have to tell you that much. But what is the extent of the curse? So I'd like to read you a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kufav. So the Gemara says like this. Amar B'Yitzhak, Mai Tichtiv, Gam El Yitatzecha LaNetzach. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, so God tells David, Nete Do'eg La'alma De'ate. It's amazing. God asks David, should we allow Do'eg to go to Olam Abba? It's like David is the doorkeeper, he's the gatekeeper. God asks whatever you want, David, should we let him in or not? Amar Lefanav, Gam El Yitatzecha LaNetzach. No, you cannot let him in. LaNetzach means for eternity. Umay Tichtiv, what about the other curses that he said? Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu, Limru Shema'ata B'Midrasha M'Shemeh. At least, will you allow his name to be still quoted in the Bet Midrash? Okay, listen, you know, he has Tamir Hakam, he has a lot of Hadushim, he has a lot of Torah. So at least, could his name be mentioned in the yeshiva? Rabbi so-and-so, Rabbi Do'eg said this, Rabbi Do'eg said that. Oh, I meant when Rabbi Do'eg was teaching us. Could his name still be quoted? Amar defanav yachtecha v'yisachacha me'ohel. No, his name cannot be mentioned in the Bet Midrash anymore. Do'eg's name must be forgotten. You cannot quote even the Torah on his name. So then, God says to David, Le'evele benin rabbanan. So at least, what about his children? Could he have a blessing in his children? That his children will become Talmidei Chachamim? V'shedeshcha me'eres hayim se'la. No, even the roots that come out of him, he will not have banim. He doesn't deserve to have banim Talmidei Chachamim. It's unbelievable. And then the Gemara goes on to give us examples how much Torah this man had, Do'eg, and how talented he was, and how much kohot he had. But it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him from taking this free fall into a bad life, a life of avera. And then the Gemara comes along and says, or the Tehillim, we have a lot to read. Continue. Oh. You remember when you said scary? So look at Pasuk Chet. V'yir'u Sadiqim. When Sadiqim see the story of Do'eg, V'yira'u. They're going to get afraid. Exactly like you reacted. V'alav Yishaku. And then they're going to laugh. Now make up your mind. Is it a scary story or is it a funny story? Well, the Pasuk over here says, well, when the Tzaddikim see what happened, they're going to be afraid. Initially, they're going to be afraid because on different levels. On one level, because they're going to say, wow, if that can happen to Do'eg, it could happen to anybody. They're going to be afraid for themselves. Before you see the example of Do'eg, the Tzaddik rests on his righteousness. He says, listen, I'm a Tzaddik, I learn. I've Torah, I'm good, I go to shul, I pray, Bet Knesset, I'm covered. And the tzaddik never imagines that he could be vulnerable to the underworld, to the bad things. But when the tzaddikim are going to see that a man much greater than themselves, namely Do'eg, who was the head of the Sanhedrin and the head of the yeshiva, and he fell like that, so it's going to cause them to be worried about their own status, their own standing. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, v'yir'u tzadikim v'yira'u, is like this. Until Doeg gets punished, it's going to cause great confusion. Because the tzaddikim are going to see that his Doeg learns Torah, teaches Torah, and he's doing all these wrong things, and he's still flourishing. So it's going to create confusion amongst the tzaddikim. How is it possible that the Rasha is able to prosper still? How is it able that he can still succeed? So the tzaddikim are going to see the prosperity of Doeg. The Yirau, they're going to be afraid in the sense that, where is the justice? Which means they're afraid that he's getting away with it. How could God allow him to get away with it? But then it says, Ve'alav yishaku. But ultimately, Doeg, as we're going to see, is going to get punished. And at that point, the tzaddikim will laugh. And they'll say, there is justice. And Doeg, you know, you could run from God, but you can't hide. And ultimately, Borei Olam catches up with everybody. And Doeg will get his. The Gemara now, and I quote, just to read a little Gemara here now. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak. My tichtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? It's actually a Pasuk in Tehillim 50, which we read in the summer. Ulrasha Amar Elohim. God says to the Rasha, Ma lecha lesaper hukai? Rasha, who asked you to learn my Torah? Who asked you to read my statutes? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDoeg. God tells Doeg, Ma lecha lesaper hukai? Who asked you to study Torah? Kesheata magia leparashat meratzechim uparashat mesapre lashon hara, ma ata doresh behem? Doeg, you're going to have a problem because you're a teacher. And one day you're going to get up to the subject that talks about lashon hara. How are you going to teach that subject when you yourself are the biggest transgressor of lashon hara? You're going to one day get up to the parasha that talks about murder. How are you going to talk about murder? You're the biggest murderer in the group. You killed 85 Kohanim in Nov. And therefore, you can't teach Torah. Because the one that teaches Torah, before he teaches it, has to make sure that he follows it. And therefore, the only way you're going to be able to teach that Torah is to corrupt it. It doesn't really mean Lashon Hara. It doesn't really mean to murder. And therefore, your bad behavior is going to cause you ultimately to corrupt the true teachings of Torah, in order to justify your actions. So God tells the Rasha, it's it, you lost your chance to teach Torah because your Torah is not going to be emet. Well, now you can ask yourself the million-dollar question. But Rabbi, I thought that Torah protects a person from averot. Doesn't it say that the yetzer hara a person has? And what controls the yetzer hara? The Torah. And if Doeg had so much Torah and so much learning and so much teaching, how is it that his Torah didn't protect him? I think that's a fair question. Well, the Gemara answers that. Am batisa b'riti adeficha. Amar Rabbi Amir, en Torato shel Doeg, ela misafa velachutz. Oh. Which means his Torah was superficial. What does it mean? I saw different interpretations. Some say he didn't study Torah for the right reasons. He was very smart. He had a good head. He had good speech, charisma. You know, had a good way of explaining things. And he enjoyed it. You know, but he didn't study it for the commandment of God. He didn't study the Torah with the right intention. So it seems it's not enough just to study the curriculum or the subject called Torah. It needs to be studied with the right intention. Doeg did not have the right intention. So the Torah did not enter his bones and his body to protect him. Ben Ish Chai says even something stronger. Amara's language was, En Torah Toshuk Ela Misafa Belahutz. It was lip service, meaning he didn't learn out loud. It's interesting. It seems that when you learn, you have to learn out loud. I don't know if your girls ever went to a yeshiva. You go to yeshiva, it's not like the New York Public Library where everybody's just quiet. And if somebody sneezes in the library, goes, hey, it gives them a dirty look. Keep quiet. Don't you know we're trying to sleep over here? It's a library. But you go to yeshiva, it's like a thunder. It's a roar. Everybody's learning out loud. Why? For Torah to enter a person, it has to be studied with fervor and excitement. And it seems that if you just lip read it, it doesn't go in. So Doeg learned a lot, but he learned a lot with his eyes. He didn't learn out, even when you go to yeshiva sometimes, and you're the only one in the Bet Midrash, the guy sitting next to you, he's learning out loud. Who are you talking to? He's talking to the walls. He's talking to himself. He learns out loud in order that the Torah will enter his soul. But Doeg, it seems, didn't do that. So it says, listen to the story here. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, May Dichtiv, Hayil Balab Aikienu Mepno Yerushinu El, Amar David Avnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yamut Doeg. Wow. David prayed for Doeg to die. That's how bad he was. Amar Lo, so God said, Hayil Balab Aikienu, let me wait until he forgets his Torah. Which means, let his Torah be uprooted first. I don't want to kill him with all the Torah in his head. God, don't wait. Take it away from him. And as a result of that prayer, Doeg forgot all his Torah. So he really ends up getting a big punishment. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, that we saw. Now, Amar Rabbi Ami, Lo met Doeg. Doeg did not die. Ad sheshakach Talmudo. Until he forgot all his learning. So he dies an empty vessel. Not only that, another rabbi says, Rav says, Achin itstara, he got leprosy also. Good for him. And the Gemara brings proofs to that. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shilosha malache habala nizdamnu lo ledoeg. Three angels at the time of his death came to Doeg to take him away. Ehad shishikach talmudo, one caused him to forget his learning. Ehad shisaraf nishmato, one burnt his soul. Yeah. Ehad shipizer afaro bebatei kenesiyot ubebatei midrashot. And the other one took his ashes and scattered them in the Bet Midrash where he taught and the Bet Knesset where he served. It's unbelievable. The Bein Ish Chai says, why three angels? Because he made a mockery of the Torah, which is made of three parts, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. And he made a mockery of David, which is three letters, Dalet, Bab, Dalet. And therefore God punished him with three angels. One, forgot his learning, because the Torah of Doeg is not real Torah. It's not Torah that's worth remembering. He studied it, not B'Kedushah, he didn't study it with the right purity, and the right... the right intentions. The Torah should have brought him to Yirat Shamayim. Listen, it's a big test Doeg had. He's so successful, but the Ge'avah got to him. You know, his talent and his abilities, he became haughty. And he was a towering figure over everybody. We're not saying that he didn't have a big test. But he could have made Teshuvah, but he didn't. He still went on his way. So God said, first the Torah of Doeg is forgotten. And then the second thing is that his neshama is cut off because of the Lashon Hara that he spoke and the crimes that he committed. And then it says they took his ashes and they scattered it around the Batei Midrashot and the Batei Knesiyot. What does that mean? What was that punishment? I think the punishment might be like this. We can only imagine the confusion that Doeg caused in the Bet Midrash and the Bet Knesset. The people had to be very confused. Here's Doeg, it's their rabbi, it's the head of the Sanhedrin, it's a man that's a towering figure, it's a man that they all learn from, it's a man that everybody, you know, is gaining from. And he was respected, he was a scholar, he had all the qualities. And all of a sudden, they see a different side of this Doeg. It must have created a lot of, you know, confusion in the Bet Midrash. How can this happen? You know, it's a shock, especially to those that are in the Beit Midrash and the Beit Knesset. So Doeg gets his punishment that his ashes or his afat is scattered into the Beit Midrash, which means the lesson is that, yes, ultimately, Doeg, you're a human being like everybody else. And like the Pasuk says, you were made from afar and you return to afar. And it's maybe to tell the people in the Beit Midrash, even Doeg is afar, he's made up the same elements as everybody else. He's a human, he's Adam al-Akh. Nobody's above the fray of the Yetzirah. Nobody's above the challenges of the Yetzirah. He's afar also. And he succumbed. And therefore it's a stark reminder to the people in the Beit Midrash that he confused, that he, you know, that he tricked, or that he let down. So they see his afar, whether they saw it or not, that's of course another story. But his afar was there. The lesson to the people in the Midrash is, even though Eg is afar by Efer, even him, he's also, and if we subject to the seductions of the Yetzirah, nobody's above it. And therefore that tells the other tzaddikim in the Beit Midrash, be careful. Be careful. His afar is a stark reminder of what can happen. That's what they put it in the Midrash. And in the so nobody should forget, you know, what happened to Doeg. Well, not the best story here today, ladies. I hate to tell you. I don't pick the chapters. We just read whatever comes to our way. And the Pasuk says over here, you know why this happens, David HaMelech says? The Gevet. Gevet means the important guy. The Gevet is a Gavra, he's an important guy. But lo yasim Elohim ma'uzo, but he doesn't put his faith in God. Vayiftach beruv oshro. Instead, what does he rely on? His wealth. Now this could be his physical wealth, or his mental wealth, or his talents. And that brings him to Gaba. Nothing could happen to me. I can get away with it. I have power. I have control. I have, clout. Ya'oz behavato. Which means, therefore, he's brazen in his wickedness. He thinks he can get away with anything he wants. And that's why he thought he could even fight David. Now look at the difference of David, the way he looks at himself. In total effacement and total humility, David says, Va'ani, regarding me, Kizayit Ra'anan, I'm like a small little olive, Bebet Elohim, in the house of God, Batahti Bechesed Elohim Olam Ba'ed, and I put my faith in God. When those other people put their faith in their prowess and in their influence and in their money and in their wisdom. But listen, that she says, Va'ani ha-nirdaf. I'm the one that's being chased. I'm being chased by Shaul. I'm being maligned by Doeg. And I'm the one that's being chased. But you know what? I put my trust in God. Kizayit ra'anan. Myself, my children like olives. And I trust in the kindness of God. Olam ba'ed, that will be with me forever. Odecha le'olam ki asita. Odecha le'olam, and I will thank you and praise you forever. Va'akaveh shimcha, I will anticipate your holy name. Ki tov, because ultimately you will always do good, and everything you do, God, is good. Neged hasidecha, in front of those that are the true hasidim. So David now says, that even though all these bad things happen to me, I know everything is netoba. Odecha le'olam ki asita, I know you did all this to me. And I have no claims. V'akaveh shimcha ki tov. And I anticipate that your name is good. And at this point, our rabbis teach us that even though at the time David did not see the good, but he says, I thank you now, odecha le'olam ki asita. I thank you in the present. Because I know ultimately, everything that you do, even the parts of life that seem bad or seem bitter, I know that it's ultimately for my best. And what's the lesson we learn from over here, ladies? The lesson over here is many. Number one, the power of Lashon Hara. Look at that. Just because he spoke one or two words of Lashon Hara, look at the damage it ended up bringing. Number two, Shaul is guilty also in this chapter. He accepted the Lashon Hara. He shouldn't have accepted it. And ultimately, Shaul would get killed because of this. And it will lose the kingdom. Doeg dies at the young age of 34. You know, he didn't live to 120. What do you think? God cut him down. And Shed Damim Lo Yehesu Yemehem. The wicked people, they don't even reach half their life. And at that point, the people realized, the guy's a faker. The guy, he can give a good derash, but he's not authentic. And therefore, they realized the punishment. That's number one, Lashon. How careful you have to be with Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara kills. We don't understand the ramifications. This chapter reminds us of that. It leads to the gravest sins. Number two, a person cannot trust himself. A person has to learn Musar. A person has to involve himself in Yirat Shamayim. And he has to make sure that the Torah that he's studying is not misafaf al-achutz. It's not just superficial. It's not a subject or just some sort of routine. You know, everybody's learning, so you learn. No, that's the misafaf al-achutz. You have to learn because it's a commandment of God. You have to learn with fervor in order that the Torah enters your system. And then the Torah's ability to break the yetzirah. And nobody can trust themselves. Al ta'amen ba'atzmecha ad yom motcha. If it could happen to Do'eg, it could happen to anybody. And that's why anytime you come into the Beit Midrash, we see the afar, the dust of Do'eg in the Beit Midrash, to remind everybody, look what happened to Do'eg. In the Beit Midrash, in the Beit Knesset, they're reminded constantly that nobody is above the seduction of the Yetzer. And I guess that's why we pray every day in the morning prayers, that God should save us. Lo lidei nisayon, don't bring us to tests. Lo lidei bizayon, and not through shame. And you have to pray. And with Siyata Deshmaya and the study of Musar, Be'ezat Hashem. But ultimately, look what ends up happening. The big shot, the bully, what ended up happening to him? Gone. And the one that was being chased, and the one that was being maligned, and the one that was being sought after, which was David, what happened to him? He elevated. You see from here what the rabbis tell us. Meshpil ge'im ad aris. God takes the ge'im, the arrogant ones, and lowers them to the ground. And he takes the shefalim are the low ones, ad marom, and lifts them up. You just have to be patient. Ultimately, God always will settle the score. And the bad one is not going to get away with it for too long. It'll look like it'll get away with it. In the meantime, you say, how could this happen? But ultimately, the one that's high goes down, and the one that's low will go up. Okay, ladies, we'll stop over here.